Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Burnt Cookbook Party, an original Pathfinder campaign set in a unique fantasy world where four heroes of varying skills, attractiveness, and stupidity race against time to prevent a war. I am Jenna Stieber and I play Astra Blep, a fae-addled half-elf oracle who is exactly who she says she is. And I'm joined by
Andrew Hansen, playing Johnny Brightchild, a hot and sunny Ifrit Resort Spa paladin, eager to help and flex.
Caitlin Stadahar, playing Patty Hertz, a rat folk ranger dandy with a nose for gossip and cheese.
Paul Lukemeyer playing Zelf, an elven battle chef carving a name for himself in the high-stakes world of magical cooking.
And we're, of course, led today and for the first time since the 3-episode Patreon-exclusive Sea Monster Boat Rapes Festival art dropped in our Patreon by our illustrious GM and world builder, Justin Green. Hey, Justin, how are you?
I'm doing great. I am trying to get out of the player character mindset and back into GM mindset so that I can properly control the chaos of the group.
No.
Instead of contributing to it.
Yes. Was it hard for you to set aside your captain's hat, which I know you physically wear for every podcast recording, in order to be a player?
It was a struggle to get it off, but once it was gone, I took to it extremely quickly.
It's true. You crushed it.
Justin, I'm going to miss you as a character player.
Yeah, he'll be there in spirit, though, and through non-player characters. So
that's true. That's true.
And who knows? In the future, maybe we'll do more.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, if a bunch of people sign up for the Patreon in order to listen to this episode, that'll really teach us that this is a good thing to do. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Just saying.
I hope we learn good lessons.
We are currently in the Church of Salinas in a private room tucked away in the back where Glorhan and Harvel's bodies are being kept. So far, avoiding any arrest, but this is directly after the battle. Ansel is with the group. He kneels at Glorhan's bedside. He's holding her hand. His eyes are closed and his head is down. It's unclear if he's thinking or he's praying, but he's completely silent aside from like an occasional sniffle.
Zelf is going to wave his party over and say, all right, everyone, it's been an exciting night, and it might remain exciting. We're currently fugitives. Do we have any reason to stay in the city other than to be captured by the forces of the Court of the Archmage?
No, let's get out of here. Let's leave. We should have never have come here in the first place.
Both Caitlin and Patty are pondering the answer to that, and I want to be nosy about Astra because she wants to leave so bad, but I'm also injured and sleepy and I want to go back to my comfy dorm room with my nice 4-poster bed, so I'm very conflicted right now.
You had so many white claws and...
so many white claws. I just need a night off, guys.
Well, the other thing was that I wanted to warn Molny about like impending doom, and that's like in a couple weeks.
Is
so,
Molny here?
Like, he's, like, nearby. Like, he's, you know, Molny's temple isn't that far away.
Do you think we could lay low in his temple? Because I feel like we can't lay low here. I think they'll come here looking for us pretty soon.
Yeah,
but no. Molny's temple, maybe not.
Maybe Molny's temple. Also, like, you know, we could go to Mjolnir, right? Like, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, we need to head towards Mjolnir at some point anyway. I think we have, what, 4 days for that?
Yes. So.
Does anyone here think that there's a way we can reverse the successful ritual? Or does that seem way out of our league at this point?
Maybe the goblins will know. Like, we could, like, or they might, like, have some stuff. Like, we might be able to try again.
Didn't you burn all of their camp down?
Yeah, but, like, you know.
I think we burned some bridges and then some, Johnny.
They might have a rich oral tradition.
There might be, like, some artifacts there that Patty and I missed that, like, maybe you and Zelf would, like, know? Or,
we
like,
did leave in a hurry. It was a little hasty.
What was Harvel carrying that we now have in our possession?
You want to loot his headless body? Is that what 100%. You're saying?
100%.
Okay,
100%.
Great.
I mean, he doesn't mind. He's dead.
It's fair.
I have put three items of note into your barracks, your item storage. Glorhan's spellbook, which was in the possession of Harvel. The Sheep Lich's phylactery. A small wooden box that is filled with some parchment that's half eaten. And then the third item is the robe that Harvel wears that he's purposely burned along the edges for dramatic effect. This is what allows him to levitate whenever he casts spells. It also gives him a small boost to his AC as well.
But it's mostly for the levitating, right?
It is for the levitating. It's all about looking good.
I love them.
It looks real cool. I admit that.
Does Glorhan's spellbook have... Is it just spells? Is it just like her shadow spells? Or is there any other content in it?
Flipping through, you are able to find in the back what you believe are notes that were written by Harvel. It's not the same handwriting as the rest of the book. Just context clues tell you that it's him. And it seems to be a list of ways that he has tried to bring her back to life that have all failed. And so it seems like he has started with the more obvious and more accepted ways to do that. So as a fake paladin of Gavilan, he does have connections at the Cathedral of Light. So his first step was to try and get some holy good magic to bring her back. But it wasn't able to happen at the Cathedral of Light, wasn't able to happen at the Church of Iris. He has now become more desperate, and you can see that he's trying darker arts, but also still failing in all of his attempts.
Okay.
Well, one of the things we learned last time is that seemingly Glorhan's soul has gone into Johnny, right?
Yeah.
She does not register as dead via the magical device Ansel had.
Yeah.
So it's more complicated.
I mean, I have to assume that's why the spells failed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We have Glorhan's soul.
We have it in a Johnny-shaped container.
Yeah. We got it in a Johnny jar, so we might be okay. But none of us know any of this magic, I guess, required to do necromancy.
It's probably for the best.
Soul transferal.
Yeah, that seems a bit advanced.
What about Ansel? Would he know how to do it?
Astra will show Ansel Glorhan's spellbook and show him specifically the notes Harvel made and be like, Ansel, look at all these attempts to raise Glorhan that Harvel tried and failed. And I think it's because of the whole Johnny situation, the Johnny of it all.
I'm sorry that I got in the way.
Oh, no, Johnny, it's not like that.
Poor Johnny.
You're a big, big, beautiful container.
Ansel says, oh, don't apologize, Johnny. The four of you have done so much for my sister. I don't even know how to begin repaying you. Much less your friend here who died doing what I should have been doing, which is trying to bring my sister back to life.
Well, maybe.
Well, you only just learned tonight what fate she had. Can hardly blame yourself for not knowing.
No, if anyone, you can blame self. Anyway, I think now that you know, can you snip out the parts of Glorhan that are in Johnny without harming Johnny? Can you scoop out the Glorhan jam that's in the Johnny jar and put it back on the Glorhan toast? It's a metaphor.
What?
It's a metaphor, Johnny. Don't think too much.
No, she's right. It was a very accurate food metaphor.
He's like, I think that this might be beyond what I could do, but I have heard of wizards with the ability to, you know, put someone's essence from one body into another. It can be done.
I want to check Glorhan's spellbook for any spell that I think would do this, because, like, something happened to get it out of Glorhan and into Johnny. So I want to peep in the spellbook and see if there's any spells that suggest that this was Glorhan's doing.
For sure.
It's a great question. It seems like the spell she used is probably stronger than the ones in the spellbook.
Yeah, none of us are that high level yet to do stuff like this, but maybe like, it'll...
Yeah, an after-death contingency spell? Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah, that's some tough shit.
So between that and reading the notes, it's going to take a little bit of time. Is there anything that the rest of you want to do?
Johnny, he tells the party about during the war, at one time he had to go to Ovidel to, you know, kind of had to do some like stuff that like, you know, the sun wasn't always like shining brightly on it and stuff. So like me and like honestly some really solid dudes and like I'll probably get distracted if I tell you about them. But, like, we, like, kind of hunted the Blood Mage and, like, some really crazy stuff happened and, like, the Doom Weapon showed up. It was, like, really awful and, like, all of these people died and frickin' there was all this fire and, like, lasers and crazy death. And, like, Gia was there, and she was, like, you know, casting all these spells and, like, trying to save people and stuff like that. And she had these cool staffs. And it's weird. Like, it's kind of coming fast, guys. But, like, basically, like, the demigod showed up. Like, Molni showed up. And they, like, killed Aretas. Because, like, he was becoming, like, a demigod. Like, he'd taken, like, this crown of, like, going to drive him, like, nuts. And, like, it was actually... I wonder if my name's in his arm.
Wait.
Sorry,
wait.
It's kind of fragmented. I know, but like basically, I think like one of the demigods might be three gnomes, and I think Gamweir might be one of those gnomes.
I think Patty is just gonna stare at him open mouth and dumbfounded. Just like this word vomit from Johnny.
It's just a total info dump word vomit.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
All over the place.
Yeah. Johnny. I never know how much of your stories are literal and how much are, like, flowery language.
Yeah, I know. Like, sometimes I can kind of dress things up, Astra, but, like, this is all, like, as I remember it. Like, honestly, there was probably, like, a 300-foot-tall beast of metal and, like, magic ripping apart a city. Mm. Like, that was real.
I also just never know... What's literal and what's hyperbole?
It's definitely, I saw, like, how, like, Harville's head was, like, just off, right?
Yeah,
like,
that was messed up.
That's, like, a super sharp blade. Mm. Like, it's, like,
I never know.
Cuts like a Snicker snack. Yeah.
I never know how many of the sounds you make are literal.
Well, that was, like, some flower language. I'm sorry. Like,
okay,
that was...
okay.
That was like poetical.
So if Gamweir was part of a demigod, does that mean another demigod is dead?
I think so. But like what I'm like confused about, Astra, is like that was like the weapon I saw the gnome god use.
Mm.
But like you can take like the weapon of like a demigod. It's like not impossible. Those are like just things. Like they can be taken.
Yeah, in my experience, demigods don't like being robbed.
Probably if demigods Astra, are being killed, it's by a demigod, right? What, Zelf?
Well, much like Bovel's journal, there may be a way to independently verify this. Johnny, do you remember the three gnomes who were parts of a demigod?
I only knew Gamweir.
Okay. And popular knowledge is that Lunas... has no demigod, or at least there was no known one from the war, right?
Right. Like, even the Blood Mage, like, didn't know he was going to get Lunas's inspiration or whatever.
I mean, Bovel seemed to indicate to us that he thought he could become a new demigod. And presumably that's based on his experience in the time loops. And is he wrong? Can people just become demigods if they eat enough... radiation meteorite?
Like, in my memory, there was, like, a group of people that were helping the Blood Mage.
Yeah.
And also there was, like, a cult that was, like, protecting, like, the item. But, like, only the person who was, like, meant to get it would get it. It was, like, kind of like the vibe of it all.
Everything's got a cult these days, you know?
Well, like, you know, like, a cult's just, like, a group of people who, like, share a belief, right? Like, I mean...
I mean, a cult is a club, so...
Yeah. Yeah, right? Like, that's what I'm saying.
Are we a cult? We don't share any beliefs. No, I take it back. It's fine.
We share a room, like...
I was going to say that we're certainly not a cult because otherwise we wouldn't split up so often.
Funny.
Yeah, we're not single-minded enough.
We'd stick together more.
Great. Johnny, thanks for telling us all that. I don't really know what to make of it.
I wanted to just have Andrew clarify if the group knows about Tommy Ember Eyes.
Johnny, in his retelling, does not mention that he's Tommy Ember Eyes. In his mind, he's Johnny.
Perfect. While you guys are chatting, Astra is flipping through Glorhan's spellbook. You do find something in there that you think is related to the spell that she cast, Astra.
Ooh.
It's a scroll that's been used. So a lot of the magic has been lifted off of it. Like whenever a scroll is read, the writing vanishes off of it. But there is some non-magical text on it. And it says, Rabual the Generous across it, as if it's like a brand name scroll.
I love that.
Okay, interesting.
Is that a name any of us recognizes?
You guys can make a local check to see if that is a name that you guys recognize.
All right.
With my investigator ability to be able to add inspiration and knowledge check for free, my total is a cool 30.
Very
that
nice.
Cool.
Awesome. My goodness.
Zelf, you are also secretly getting a bonus because this is somebody who is from Mjolnir.
Another celebrity that I hate.
It's actually not somebody that you thought was real. It's kind of like an urban legend in Mjolnir that there is a creature named Rabual the Generous that lives in Mjolnir's catacombs that grants wishes to those in need.
Fun.
Mjolnir is very segregated in terms of like economic background. And so it's kind of a thing that, you know, kids talk about in West Mjolnir, like, oh, maybe I'll strike it big. Maybe Rabual the Generous will grant one of my wishes and help me out. Patty, with your role, you have also heard of Rabual the Generous. You've heard of a rat folk that desperately wanted to be a chef. Went to Mjolnir, found Rabual the Generous, and was able to get into the world of elven magic by being turned into an elf by Rabual the Generous and living out their chef fantasy.
I thought they were going to sit inside somebody's chef hat.
I was going to say, I love that for them. I do not love that they gave up their rat folk identity to do so. That rubs Patty the wrong way, but good for them for living their dreams.
Yeah, more like a Ursula kind of vibe.
Yeah, that's exactly. It became less Ratatouille and more like sad.
Oh, Patty, any story or rumor that passes through elf hands becomes very elf-centric. The truth might have nothing to do with transforming into an elf, but there are a lot of elven myths that have to do with transforming into an elf.
That's a fair point. Fucking funny. Okay.
Kind of interrupting this, suddenly you guys hear three voices, and it's as if these people are standing in the room with you, but you don't see them. And you all hear it at the same time, all equally loud. First, you hear a voice that you recognize as High Mage Windhorn.
He says,
effective immediately, Fainalyn is in lockdown.
Oh, shit.
No one may enter or leave. Trespassers will be sent to Bitterhold. Stay inside your homes and await instruction.
I love this.
Next, you hear another man's voice that Zelf, you recognize as Heimage Dorgel, who oversaw the chairman's trial. And he says, we seek 5 suspects in relation to the attack on Fainalyn Academy, where at least 25 are confirmed dead. 1 bomb has been detonated. Potentially more exist.
A bomb?
Whoops.
Then you hear a woman's voice, which, Patty, you recognize as High Mage Mirakan, who oversaw Raid's trials, not your own, but the others. And she says, the suspects are armed and dangerous, possessing trained disenchanters, possibly part of a larger group of Ebnir worshippers. For your safety, do not approach the ley line. And then the message seems to end there.
Well, I mean, this was inevitable, but it's still a shame.
I like that we were just happily planning to tidy up our little side quests and just bop down the road, assuming that Justin was not going to make it difficult for us to get out of this town.
I mean, this is what Zelf kind of suspected might happen.
Well, we're already here. Should we just nap and try to make a break for it in the morning when we have spells and more HP, or...
No.
No?
No, we should get out of the city limits now, and we should nap somewhere outside of Anlin.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Yeah, seems like not opportune time for napping, which is rare for me to say, because I do like napping.
Ansel, bro, do you know any secret ways out of the city?
First of all, Ansel, put on this jark robe and pretend to be Harvel.
Oh.
I'll do you one better. And he puts a hand on Harvel's body, and he casts a spell which is called Assume Appearance, which allows him to take the visage of any dead person. And
oh,
you see
it.
His features shift from his pointy kind of gothic look into the fallen angel Harvel persona as you saw him last. His voice no longer weird and nasally. He sounds like Harvel when he speaks. He says, this should do fine. Don't worry. The Pharrells are good at hiding in the shadows.
Well, it's even harder to understand whether we should call you Ansel or Harvel now.
Oh, man, Paul.
Sorry.
There's a knock at the door, and a cleric of the Church of Salinas enters. It's somebody that you have been working with this entire time, who you know is a good person who helped you with the ley line problem. And they say, forgive my interruption. I'm afraid it's time sensitive. I'm sure that you guys all heard the announcement. But you should also know that they're projecting illusory images of you into the sky at several locations around the city. And arbiters are posted at the borders, while still more patrol the streets, instructing citizens to turn you in on sight.
How do we look, though? Do we look hot?
I was just thinking that. I was like, God, finally, my face projected on the big screen.
You look great. It's, you know, you're winning the AOP competition. It's wonderful image of you guys. I want you to know that the Church of Salinas recognizes your good works and your chaotic ones, and we'll hide you as long as we can, but Windhorn will come here sooner rather than later. Hmm. So you have to get out of the city, and there's only one way out that isn't blocked.
Yeah.
The Whispering Woods.
North into the Whispering Woods.
No! Let's just get caught. We can deal with the justice system.
We'll just go to the dungeon. Oh, I'm so excited to go to the woods. Oh, I can't wait.
No!
It's almost like they're calling to us.
No.
Johnny and I had such an adventure out in the woods before. This is going to be exciting, guys.
Justin, can I sense motive on this guy just in case?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a 23.
Oh, yeah. You believe that this person has your best interests at heart.
Okay.
The church will lend you a boat for your journey. Yeah. The Davin River cuts through the eastern side of the woods, and very few Fae will cross it. Except for the Nereid, who are water fae and inherently good. They're very kind to travelers. If you sail down the river center, the danger of the fae should be lessened significantly. But the danger of the river is still quite real. It can be some intense rapids. But in a few hours' time, you'll be out of the Whispering Woods entirely and into the Mjolnir region. Otherwise, you could try your luck on foot to Molni, but that's deeper into the woods to the west. But if you plan to fight, having a demigod on your side may be the only sure way to topple a high mage.
God, I'm just flashing back to our fucking trying to drive the boat in Thune. Remember how we were like, oh, we need to learn how to drive the boat. And yet again, we need to learn how to drive the boat and nobody knows how to drive the boat.
Did anybody improve their swim skill when you leveled up?
No, I thought about it too. I thought about it.
Patty bought a non-magical sailor hat.
I bought a sailor hat, but all it does is make me look cute.
Is there anyone here in the Church of Salinas who's been in the forest who can act as our guide?
Yeah. No, they are always in and out of the forest. They commune and work with the Fae.
Ugh.
Do any of them know how to pilot a boat?
I think you could get one of them that would pilot a boat.
Okay, team vote. Zelf thinks going into the woods is somehow the least dangerous option, just because he thinks Windhorn has been planning this entire thing, and he's got plans within plans to catch them if they try to leave on foot.
Yeah, I think he has the least control inside the Whispering Woods.
But there's reasons for that. Then those are the same reasons we shouldn't go in there.
Oh, I mean, that's fair.
Patty also thinks that we should escape through the woods, but she's scared to ride in the boat, so she thinks we should go on foot.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
She almost drowned. God, guys.
That's true.
Patty's almost drowned several times, and she still has no swim skills. I'm going to put that on the mental note, swimming lessons for Patty.
Yeah, we're going to get Patty a YMCA membership.
Symbols of water wings.
Well, listen, we can't go. We cannot. We cannot. We cannot. We cannot go on foot through the Whispering Woods, half health, no spells as we are now. We have to leave immediately. That is not an option. I'm putting my little half-elf foot down.
We could take the disenchant eaters. That would be faster.
I think that would be worse somehow, because what? The Fae, I don't know. Listen, I feel like that would attract Fae attention, and they would want to eat or molest those Nanteasers in some way. Mm. If we have to go through the woods, and I don't think we do, it should be on a boat where we're all contained and can gently drift in the water. And I think that'll really lessen the number of encounters that we're going to run into, because again, we're so weakened.
Patty initially voted for Temple because she didn't want to ride in the boat, but Astra made an excellent point about going through the woods would put the disenchanters at risk, and Patty does not want to do that. So she will grudgingly vote for the boat.
I don't think we can put the disenchanters on the boat with us. I think we have to leave them somewhere. I don't think we should burden the Church of Salinas with watching the disenchanters, since the Court of the Archmage knows that.
That's true. That's a valid point.
So I think we should set them free. I think we should slap them and they'll run back to their pen.
That's true.
And live there and be happy.
They can go live in the forest free.
Justin, if we take a boat into the woods, could we potentially count as resting on the boat ride? Or is the only way we could get a rest period to do it now before we leave?
I would say you have a better chance of resting on the boat.
No, that's what I was thinking. So I appreciate getting your feedback on that.
I think that sounds like we need to leave now.
How far away is Molny's temple?
On foot, it's about 2 hours to the west. Otherwise, you're wanting to go northeast on the river to Mjolnir.
I mean, I think we should go see Molny, but...
I mean, Molny's temple is literally walking through the Whispering Woods. And once we get to it, how are we going to leave from there to get to safety?
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad instinct to check in on Molny. But genuinely, I have no second level spells left. I have a couple first level spells, but those none of those are very good. The forests are, by definition, super dangerous. I guess what I'm saying is if we try to go into the woods, Astra is going to escalate.
So here's my thinking. If we get to Molny's temple, we could probably rest there. I think we would be safe to rest there, or we could head directly towards the water. We probably will encounter something either way on the way to the water or the temple, is Andrew's thinking.
Hmm. Yeah, it would be nice to rest, and it would be nice to rest in the shadow of a cat demigod that would probably be chill with us hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a cat with us.
That's true. We got to think about the baby. We got to think of the baby, guys.
Is the baby the cat we saved from that orb? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Patty has gone from being afraid of it to now it's her baby.
Baby.
Hold on. That cat is still at Astra's apartment, right?
Yeah, I was assuming that cat is still at the apartment.
We have to go get it.
I will give one of the priests my address. And say, listen, there's a cat. There's a cat in this apartment. Just let it out. It's not really my cat. It'll be fine on the streets. Its name is Adi. And make sure you say that to it before it leaves so that it doesn't forget. But just I don't know, wait like a day. It'll be a little hungry, but it'll be fine. And they're probably watching the apartment, so just keep a head on a swivel. I don't lock the door ever, so just let yourself in.
Yeah, they agree. The cleric nods and takes down your address and says, we will never let a cat go hungry in Fainalyn as long as one of us live.
That's a great attitude, because I really don't know what's going to come down upon your heads when Windhorn finds out we were here. And help yourself to whatever in the fridge. Okay, Zelf, where are you? Boat? Probably boat, right?
If we don't talk to Molny now, where's the next time we'll see him?
See, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, eventually, guys, I'm going to have to talk to Molny. And, like if we go now, like, I won't have to, like, leave later. And, like, I'd probably have to come here, like, after we go to Mjolnir so that, like, I could warn him.
I think that's a better plan. Because the heat's on, and then we're the thing that the heat is on. We're the pot.
Another excellent kitchen metaphor.
I don't know what's with me today with all the food metaphors. I'm sorry. I don't mean to encroach on your territory, Zelf.
Food is meant to be shared, Astra.
And food metaphors, Zelf?
I think we should go to Mjolnir.
Yes. All right. I mean, that's fine. I wasn't that emotionally invested in it. Okay. So I think that's three for the boat, right? Johnny, I promise we'll come back for Molny.
I mean, like, I've got to come back for Molny. It would be cool if you came with me. It's just, like, a direction I'm going to have to go in the future. Like, you know, it's just how it's got to be.
Johnny, we would never split the party.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's true. You're right.
Anywhere you go, we'll go as long as we all vote in the direction that I want us to vote in.
I'd just like to note for the record that as I was picking out new spells, I specifically was looking at ones and I was like, this will be useful next time we split the party and need to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Considering that you didn't get any swim spells, I actually think that demonstrates a pretty impressive amount of foresight.
As always, I just went with something funny, but that's fine.
She didn't pick it.
I considered it though. I'm like, this would be useful, but this one's funny.
All right. We have a month before the Fainalyn Fall Blessing and some change, and that's where Molny's death is. I'm willing to compromise on the boat if we can get something done here. Clerics of Salinas, can I possibly impose on you to deliver Harvel's body to the Temple of Molny?
Oh, damn.
Interesting. Yeah, they will do that.
Zelf, why?
Tell Molny that somebody's targeting demigods, and this is our proof.
Really ominous, Zelf.
The cleric nods. They're a little confused.
All right. And I think this is going to give us the best bang for our buck whenever Johnny comes back to talk to Molny.
Thanks, Zelf. That's great.
We'll have plenty to talk about.
That's true. It's setting the stage, at least.
Setting the table, Patty.
Hey!
Come on. Oh, you.
Did you know we have a Patreon at patreon.com/bcbparty? And did you know we released a special 3-episode Patreon exclusive miniseries and that it's available right now? That's right. Everything I just said was true. I would never lie to you. It's set in the same universe as the main feeds, and it features some familiar faces while also being outside of the main canon timeline. So it's just a fun little interlude in the whole universe that Justin has set up, and it's DM'd by me, so you finally get to see Justin be a player character. But you'll learn even more about the world that the main feed episodes are set in, and it's also just like a lot of fun. It's so much fun. That's over 3 hours of extra content available now to anybody who subscribes. And that's on top of all the regular bonuses like ad-free episodes, access to exclusive Patreon Discord, and monthly bonus clips from episodes and art and all sorts of stuff. You get all of that, and it's only $5 a month to join. So please do. It's patreon.com/bcbparty.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ansel says, he sounds like Harville now. Ansel says, forgive me, but I must stay at Glorhan's side. I know you guys risked a lot getting me out of the academy. You could have easily abandoned me like your paladin friend wanted you to do. I wouldn't have blamed you if you had, but instead you let me reunite with my sister. Up until now, she's the only person that I could call my friend. And then he kind of looks between the four of you guys with a sparkle in his eye.
Johnny gives him a fist bump. He's like,
well, bro, some things can change.
Johnny, I have no right to ask you this, but please protect Glorhan's spirit just a little longer. I'll keep her body safe.
You can count on me, man.
Harville reaches to his arm and he unhooks the buckler that's connected to it and he hands it to you, Astra.
Yeah.
And you saw it before during the battle, but it's a small mithril buckler that has like three insets where he has metamagic gems.
Ooh.
You're able to use them as material components if the buckler is attached. And he says, hope that this will keep you safe, Astra.
Wow, thank you. What a kind thing for somebody who's somewhere between an acquaintance and a friend. Thank you.
But not a roommate.
Not a roommate. I don't think there's a word yet for what we are with you, but, you know, thank you for the magic. Good luck. Astra's bad at goodbyes.
The last time we left somebody to stay with Glorhan, this was the result. Can you promise us that you'll be safe?
Absolutely. I'm doing it for Glorhan now, so.
Aw.
All right. I'll trust you.
You said it so trustingly, too.
All right. We should get on the boat and go.
Yeah. The sooner the better.
Which cleric is coming with us?
I don't have a name for this random cleric who can drive a boat. What do you want to call this cleric?
Oh.
Is he a catfolk or is he an elf?
Oh, he's a catfolk.
Mmm.
Caitlin?
I mean, can we name him after one of my cats?
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Okay, don't tell the others, but I do have a favorite.
Oh no.
His name is Remy.
That's a good choice.
Remy, yes, of course. But not a rat, though, because that would be too on the nose.
But yeah, the four of you leave the church and you rendezvous a little bit deeper into the woods at the edge of the river where a cleric called Remy is waiting for you. He's kind of a chunky little cat folk. He has kind of an empty expression as if there's not a lot going on in his head, but the others have assured you, you know, he's really good at piloting a boat, but, you know, he seems extremely jumpy. Like, any tiny noise from the woods, he's, like, on edge, freaking out. Looks like he might bail.
This is a real testament to our friendship that you're able to, like, improvise a character who perfectly describes my cat.
Astra, you realize that it's been a minute since the little stranger has really interfered with your plans. Mm-hmm. Since you guys have arrived in Fainalyn, it's been more or less absent. You were able to relax a little. And now, here it is, but it's like a completely different creature. It is nuzzling against your leg, just very, very happy as you are going deeper into the woods.
For fuck's sake. Oh, my God. I mean, Astra will, like, kind of nudge it away. trying to be discreet about the presence of this horrible little creature. Yeah, she'll do her best to, like, stand behind things so that hopefully the little stranger's less visible to her roommate's friends. God. She is at a 10. She is not quite as tense as she was at the dinner party, but she's, like, hovering near that level of intensity about being back in the forest. I mean, being in the forest. She's never been there before. Don't worry about it.
Great. You guys see that Remy has a small wooden boat just big enough for the five of you. And as you board, he takes an oar and kind of pushes off from the edge of the riverbank. And you guys are on your way. Remy tells you, if we keep a steady pace through the night, you know, we should be there in 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
So as you guys are floating on this boat down the river, if you guys want to make perception checks, if you want to rest, if there's something that you want to do on this boat ride, please let me know.
Astra will make perception checks. She is not going to rest. She is going to be full tilt.
She's just like, I need to rest. That's why we need to, you know, we need to get moving. Doesn't rest.
If anything, she'll encourage everybody else to rest so that they don't see anything or get lured or tempted or anything horrible.
I think Patty's going to rest for now. I think she's tired. She's had a rough day.
I rolled a 1 on my perception roll for a 6.
Oh, no. I love
that. I rolled a 19 for an 18 on my perception.
Justin, I would have to rest to get my inspiration and spells back, right?
Correct.
All right, yeah, I'm just going to rest up. Zelf is tired. He's used almost all his spells and all of his inspiration points.
All right. Awesome.
Just me and Johnny.
Mm-hmm. Have a nice little chat.
Just boating.
Johnny is working on a new sword swing while he's looking around. That's what he's up to.
God, I love the idea of Johnny and Astra having to just like hang out on a boat for hours and make conversation with each other.
Oh, yeah. That looks really powerful.
It's a big swing. It's a big, powerful sword swing. You know, it looks cool and it spins around and stuff. And it's like, it feels kind of familiar, but like, it's like not quite right. Like, I feel like there's something I'm missing.
Yeah.
Is there something like you can see about it? Like, you got like that cool rapier. So like, you know, like I figured you probably have some tips. Like, it just feels like, I don't know, like maybe this isn't even the right blade for like what I'm trying to do.
I mean, I think you could probably have a bigger sword, if that's what you mean. Yeah, I think when you get to a certain point, you're so used to wielding this big sword that your muscles are, like, not even exercised when you're doing it anymore. So you gotta up it.
Whoa.
More sword, Johnny.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I could put weights on the sword, too, but like, while I'm practicing with it.
Oh, man, if you put weights on the swords and then removed them right before you went into battle, your swings would be so much faster.
Oh, my God. Astra, that sounds incredible.
I think you've unlocked something.
Coolness stars are flashing in his eyes as he starts digging around with rapid speed to try and find things to weigh down his sword and unbalance it.
Weight training is key.
Yeah.
Amazing.
As you guys are boating along through the Whispering Woods, on both sides of you, just these thick forests, dense. The deeper that you get, the stranger that the trees look. They begin to like kind of take on like weird spirally shapes to how the limbs stretch out. The greenery turns pink. You hear constant voices like speaking at a hush. You can't really make out what they're saying, although occasionally you do hear someone shout out, Remy! And then he like jumps and the boat like just will jostle a little bit as he looks from side to side trying to figure out who's calling his name. You see that the river starts to get rougher, almost like turning into actual rapids. And now you see that Remy is actually quite talented and was the right choice, where you were doubting him at first. He really does manage the boat well through these rapids. He keeps it so smooth that Patty and Zelf don't even wake up. Astra, you've never been to this particular part of the woods. You didn't know that the river gets like this at all. It's almost cool. It's kind of an extreme sport, Johnny.
Johnny loves it.
You can imagine, dude. Yeah, doing this for fun.
Wow.
Remy tells you, Johnny, you know, if we had taken the split to the left there, there's like a waterfall. Like it like really turns into cascades. That's like where the name comes from.
Oh, man, I bet.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you guys are really lucky that you didn't try to do this yourselves.
Dude, yeah. Like one time we tried sailing and like it's hard. Like, people think, like, you can just, like, get on a boat and do it. Like, you can't.
Yeah, we're pretty wise. We always know when we can't do something, and we just let other people take care of it.
Once you're through the worst of the rough patch of water, Johnny, you hear a voice kind of cut through the din of whispers. A woman screaming, "Help me! Help me!" But it sounds like she's underwater. When you turn your head, you see this beautiful blue-skinned woman. Her hair looks like liquid that's like constantly moving and flowing. She is trapped inside of some sort of cage that has dropped from a tree. You can tell that it's some sort of trap that was set up on like the left bank as you pass. Even though she's on land, she always sounds like she's underwater.
Oh no.
So excited for us to think this is a fae trap and it's actually a traveler.
Whoa, check it out. That water woman is trapped. And I pointed out to Remy, and I said, we've got to help her.
Oh, no.
Justin, is this a Nereid?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and we know that the Nereids are good, right?
They're solid dudes, yeah.
Correct, they are good creatures.
Johnny. We should probably save her, right?
Yeah.
But let's be smart about it. Don't jump in.
Okay.
You're like a fire lad.
Yeah, no, I'm not swimming. No, okay, no. Like, good. These rapids are intense. I've been hanging out with Remy. Like, the water is wild.
Yeah, I noticed you two went off and started just talking, just the two of you, but that's fine. I'm fine about it.
Did you feel left out?
No, I said I didn't.
Okay.
Let's figure this out. I've got some rope.
Everything's fine. Shut up.
Remy, can you steer us closer to her, or are we just going to overshoot her immediately?
He says, I'll do my best. And very deftly, he's able to kind of move the boat over towards the shore. He kind of looks at you guys nervously, and he's like, I don't know if you should get out of the boat, though.
No, absolutely not. We're not getting out of the boat. Nobody is getting out of the boat. But that doesn't stop us from saying hello. Hello there, miss. Are you okay?
She says, please help me. I've been trapped for days. I'm going to dry out.
Can you turn into water? Why can you not just like go back into the water?
I'm too weak. Something about this cage is weakening me.
Oh, that's rough luck. What range are we at, would you say?
You are as close as you would like to be. She's probably about 30 feet inland.
Okay. I would like to be in close range, which is 25 plus 5 foot for every 2 levels. So still in the water. And I want to cast Create Water on her a bunch. It's one of my cantrips.
Just splash her.
Yeah.
Oh, like, it's sad. It's like when a whale is stuck or something. You gotta like pour the water on it. Oh, this is sad.
Does that help?
You can see she sits up. She's feeling better. She says, the cage is made of cold iron. I can't get through it.
That's really rough luck.
Cold iron's like bad for like fae people, right?
Yeah, it's like really bad. Unfortunately, you are on land. Johnny, do you have like a grappling hook? Because my instinct is we should not get out of the boat.
I tend to agree with not getting out of the boat. Like, you're gonna die.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. But if we could pull the cage inward, maybe we can outthink Justin. Because Justin is the fey creature I'm most worried about.
He is crafty.
The only time we're able to outthink Justin is when he asks us what we want to do, and we pick the, you know, out of the 12 things he thought of, we pick the 13th thing.
Going back to feed the cat.
Yes, yeah.
I have a folding shovel we could tie that, you know, mysteriously appeared in my backpack.
The corpse shovel.
We could partially fold it and then tie it to a rope and throw it.
If we attach the rope to the shovel and you use your beefy man arm strength to throw it, maybe we can hit the cage and she can grab on and we can pull her into the water. She'll still be in the cage, and so she might drown. But I don't know. She probably can't. She can probably breathe underwater or something. Hey, ma'am, can you breathe underwater?
Yes, that's the best way to breathe.
Agree to disagree. I think this is a good idea. As long as we all agree, nobody is getting out of the boat.
I'm in.
Great. Okay.
Johnny, I'll say that it is AC 10 to hit this cage, and she will be able to help you tie, like, the shovel to the cage if you can get it over to her.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sweet.
Oh.
All right.
So exciting.
I rolled a 15 for a total of 22. As I fold the shovel, Astra ties it, I give her, like, a stern nod, like, all right, commence rescue operation.
I love a rescue mission. Great.
I throw it over to the cage.
Are we discovering that the most competent duo is Astra and Johnny? That doesn't
that
seem right.
That is not at all what I would have thought, but it seems to be going well somehow.
This is only because Astra is so on edge. She's very focused.
The Nereid wraps the rope with the shovel around one of the bars a couple times and then puts, like, the shovel horizontally so it holds up against the bars.
Nice.
So you are able to start pulling on it and move the cage towards you.
Nice.
Once she's about 5 to 10 feet away from you, the rope holding the cage, it becomes taut to the tree that it, like, fell from. And I'm going to have you make a strength check to, like, break the limb of the tree off. Like, we'll say another DC 10 strength check.
All right.
You got this. Oh,
I had gorilla strength.
So strong.
I rolled a 9 for a total of 13.
Perfect. Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
You gather what's left of your strength after this long-ass day. You pull it the rest of the way. The tree branch snaps. The cage pulls forward. Suddenly, you pull it into the water, and the Nereid becomes water itself and slides right out. She kind of pops up next to the boat at the side of you and says, "Thank you. I owe you."
That's, you certainly do. We saved your life. What's your name? You didn't have a name for this one? That's fine.
Bubbles.
Okay. Bubbles.
Bubbles.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Bubbles. How did you get caught in the first place? Are people out here hunting the Fae?
They are. Terrible folk from Mjolnir. They eat our kind.
What? No, wait. Like, only the people from Mjolnir, they make meals. Like, they don't turn people into meals. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, also, you're like water, so where's even your meat?
Where's your meat?
I had a cousin that became a soup.
Oh, your broth.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
God, yeah, do you have bones? You're just instant broth. Okay, I get it now. Ezra having very mixed feelings, because the Nereids are fine, but also... But the fact that somebody's out here hunting Fae, it feels like it's probably a good thing in her mind. But not the Nereids, they're chill. Hey, be careful. What were you doing up on the bank anyway? You're like water. You should be hanging out in the water still.
I'm friends with a couple dryads. I meet them every once in a while. They live in Mythena. Have you ever been?
No. I've never been into the Whispering Woods. This place is very dangerous.
She goes, yes, it is. As thanks, I'll help you get out of here faster.
Oh, great. Yes. Excellent. Thank you. Yes, that would be wonderful.
You can see that she kind of spreads out thinner and thinner in the water. You can still kind of see her smiling face, like, just right at the front of the boat. But the rest of her kind of holds up the bottom of the boat and moves you extremely quickly, like triples your speed.
Whoa.
Remy doesn't even have to do anything anymore. He kind of just sits down awkwardly.
Amazing.
You had already made it about halfway. You're out of the woods within 40 minutes.
Amazing. Incredible. Wow. Way to save that lady, guys. Good job.
Oh, wow, yeah, right?
And circumvent whatever trap Justin actually had for us.
Oh, definitely I pull aboard the cold iron cage.
Yes,
we should totally have that.
I was thinking about that, because that does seem very useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you. She takes you far enough where you can see Mjolnir on the horizon, but she doesn't want to get any closer due to how she spent the last couple days. And it's a pretty straight shot from here.
Guys, I did not think that that was going to work out the way it did. I thought we were going to be wandering the woods, tormented by the Fae for weeks, and I cannot believe how well that worked.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be Mjolnir. Yay.
I'm excited to be out of
a Fadalyn
and onto some Zelf backstory. I'm very excited about that.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to eat horrifying things. I'm excited.
So it's a bit after midnight as you guys' small boat floats along the Davin River into the city proper. You see on your right is the crown jewel of Mjolnir, its restaurant district. And looking at it, the first word that might come to your mind is like excess. Like everything is oversized. Everything's overdone. It's lit up with like flashy, colorful signs.
Whoa.
The buildings here are designed in Mjolnir's signature architectural style, which is called extra large. There's not an open space that doesn't have like some sort of like unnecessary flourish. Even the most modern elven cities in Berwyn incorporate nature in some way, but here it's so far removed from like everything the elves like classically stand for. On your left hand side, it's almost like a completely different city. You can immediately see the extreme wealth disparity between the two halves of the city. Even though it's clearly more heavily populated, West Mjolnir looks lifeless and dull. You pass just many boarded up buildings, rows and rows of like small houses and apartments that are crammed up against each other. The banks of West Mjolnir, they sit like even with the water, and you can see like where portions of the area have been like damaged by floods in the past. While meanwhile, East Mjolnir sits like much at a much higher elevation, and there are like barriers along the edge of the river that protect it from flooding. You also notice after entering the city limits that the water is less like a crystal blue like you experienced in the woods, kind of like untouched. It was just like beautiful, almost magical. And in Mjolnir, it is dark, murky, kind of polluted almost. But yeah, you're sailing down the river in between these two very distinct halves of Mjolnir. Zelf, where is it that you want to bring your compatriots?
Well, first of all, Zelf starts drinking. He needs a mild buzz to be in Mjolnir.
Float trip!
Second of all, he wants to find, I don't know, I wouldn't say friend, his old acquaintance, Groton, his fellow ex-apprentice. Would he be at the Hunter's Guild or at the meal kitchen?
You know that Groton has a small apartment near the food bank.
Well, then, Zelf wants to take the back streets to try to find Groton's apartment.
Awesome. So you park the boat, you bid farewell to Remy, who has brought you all this way, and you make your way through West Mjolnir until you climb the rickety stairs to a rundown apartment building, the second floor to Groton's apartment. It is about 1 a.m. Are you just knocking, Zelf?
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Groton Dauphinois answers the door after you knock for a while. He's clearly been sleeping. He wears like ill-fitting pajamas and has wire-rimmed glasses. He is a little meek and withdrawn, kind of hunched over, but you know that this is just how he always is. It's not that he's just sleepy. When he sees you, though, he like jolts back. He's like, Zelf, wow, what are you doing here?
What a surprise, isn't it, Groton?
Yeah, it's what time is it?
Aren't you going to invite me in?
Oh, sure, Zelf.
And he's going to push his way inside with his friend.
Are we visible from the doorway, or is it like Grattan like leans and sees the three of us?
Just a bunch of strangers.
He says, is this your kitchen, Zelf?
Oh, we're humans.
No, these are my roommates.
Wow.
Grattan, I'll cut to the chase. We need a place to lay low. And in this entire city, I can't think of anyone that I mistrust less.
Grattan kind of holds his head and he looks around his apartment. You can see it's about the size of Astra's, just, you know, a studio. He's sleeping in the room that you enter.
Less beads.
Sure. Of course, Zelf. Anything for a fellow apprentice.
That's what I thought. Don't worry, Grattan. It'll be like an endless sleepover. Everybody, this is Grattan Dauphinois. He and I were both apprentices to the Chairman Naga. We share a sordid history.
Ooh, I love a sordid history.
What about a sorbet history? That's a little cooking.
Oh, I love sorbet, too.
Thank you for letting us stay here. Don't tell anyone we're here. And nice to meet you.
Grattan, this is Astra Blepp.
Hi.
Patty Hertz and Johnny Brightchild. They're my fellow cadets at Shadow End. They're all lovely people.
Do you have something to drink? I'm a little thirsty. Sorry.
Yeah, I would take like an orange juice.
Johnny needs a glass of milk.
Yeah, ooh, milk, yeah.
He nods. He brings you over to a cabinet that's just lined with all sorts of different alcohol. He's like, I wouldn't recommend drinking from the tap.
That's fair enough. Whatever you've got that's fermented. We're just on a float trip, so let's keep this raft afloat.
We're on a float trip.
Grattan kind of sits back down. He's kind of overwhelmed, but he's playing it off, and he says, you know, Zelf, I'm kind of surprised that you came back for this.
Why do you say that, Grattan?
So I just thought you'd put Mjolnir behind you for good.
There's something about Mjolnir that's hard to escape, really. And what about you, Grattan? I thought you cut all ties with everything between you and the chairman. Are you going to the reading?
He kind of shakes his head. He's like, I honestly haven't decided if I'm going to go. You know, I don't want to think about it. There's nothing that the chairman can give me at this point that won't make my life significantly worse.
Damn.
On the other hand, I do want to know for sure that he's really dead.
Whoa, so you think he's alive too?
Until I see his body, I'm going to live in fear. He's going to jump out from behind the next corner.
In fear?
He did have a flair for the dramatic.
Oh, it's so unlike Zelf.
Why don't we get some sleep? Grattan, there's a lot that I'll need to do in the city before the reading. I'll be in and out. You don't happen to have an extra key, do you?
He says, I'll have 4 made, I guess.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
I love that he's giving keys to all these strangers. That's fantastic. Yeah.
There's one last thing that I want to do before we wrap up for the night, and that is to make a couple rolls. You guys did leave behind some people that you had gotten involved in some trouble.
Yeah. Oops.
Like Sasha.
Andrew, I'm going to have you roll a D100 for Castian and his squad.
Oh.
Ah, fuck them.
Oh, 88.
Perfect. And then, Patty, if you want to roll for Sasha and her sorority.
Oh, boy.
A D100.
Oh, boy.
An 8.
Okay.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's definitive.
And Paul, if you want to roll for sweet small Blepp.
Oh,
our little newsy.
That's a 71.
Cool. Now, Astra, I'm going to have you roll for the little stranger for Johnny's roll first for the 88.
Oh, interesting.
A 1d4 for me.
This first roll is a 1.
And then I will have you roll, well, yeah, I guess I'll have you roll for Sasha.
What does that mean, Justin?
Sorry, girl.
I rolled a 4 for Sasha.
And then lastly, for Small Blip.
Oh, God. Split the difference, please, please, please. I got a 3.
All right. Great. Something happens somewhere.
You're not even going to tell us. Oh, Sasha. Oh, she was so nice to me.
I don't like being on the other side of mysterious roles.
So popular. So yeah, cool. Right? Ugh.
Thank you for listening to a full year of Burnt Cookbook Party, and may we have many happy returns. And a special thank you to all our Patreon subscribers. We really appreciate you, and we hope you enjoyed the bonus episodes. Burnt Cookbook Party is Andrew Hansen as Johnny Brightchild, Caitlin Stadahar as Patty Hertz, Paul Lukemeyer as Zelf, me, Jenna Stieber, as Astra Blep, and Justin Green as GM and World Builder. Produced by Jenna Stieber, this episode edited by Justin Green and Jenna Stieber.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.